back to the Jeff Force Show on Effort Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us on this Thursday morning. 251-343-0106. Want to respond to anything you're hearing on the program this morning. Joining us on the line now, he's a senator from Kentucky. Rand Paul joins us. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for making time for us. We really, really do appreciate it. We'll get to the Alabama U.S. Senate race here in just a moment. I just want to get your reaction since you've been very close to some of this quote-unquote political violence that's going on. Let's just stay with the what we've seen with the Supreme Court justices, particularly Brett Kavanaugh. But you yourself had some run-ins. What do you make of this? And it does seem to be kind of one-sided when we talk about this, and it only matters when stuff's aimed at Democrats.
You know, I think the person who leaked the Supreme Court document is inciting this violence. It's illegal what they did. It's against their contract. It's against the bar oath. So whoever leaked this document should be prosecuted. They should be disbarred, and they should be excused from being able to practice law. This is a serious breach, and not only because you're just not supposed to do it, because it's now threatening the lives of justices. There are crowds gathered outside the house of all the justices, so someone's released their addresses, which the left thinks this is just, you know, all well and good and funny to release the addresses of either politicians or of justices. And the thing is we should have a zero tolerance for this. The White House has still not condemned the huge crowds outside their houses. The First Amendment allows you to protest. You can stand in front of the Supreme Court all day and all night if you want. You can hold signs up, you can yell, you can scream. But you do not have a right to be in a neighborhood, in someone's neighborhood, outside their house, yelling and screaming all night. And the thing is, the more that gather out there, the more likely there is that some crazy person is going to be in the middle of that crowd, not be spotted, who has come there armed to kill. We've had one attempt already, and so I'm for prosecuting the person at the Supreme Court who leaked this to the fullest extent of the law.
Well, and getting into the justices, but all of this together, you know, we have spent the lion's share of the focus on January 6th, and no one's condoning what happened there, but when you watch it, you would think that you have just one, it's all one-sided, crazy Republican conservatives causing all the problems. And, I mean, we went through a whole summer with, in 2020, with these riots after George Floyd around the country. Those certainly weren't right of center. That if we're serious about addressing the problem, then, you know, is it as simple as saying, well, guys, let's just tone down the rhetoric, or do we really need to look at this from both sides?
Well, what's largely gone unreported is that there were bipartisan hearings on January 6th. In the Senate, two full committees met for 2 months. They were equally divided committees. We had testimony from all of those involved, and we wrote a 100-page report in a bipartisan way. But it wasn't a witch hunt. Nancy Pelosi just picked Democrats who hated Donald Trump and a couple of Republicans who hated Donald Trump. That's not a committee. Then they used the abuse of the subpoena power from a partisan committee. This is Democrats basically ordering up private information from people. And under no circumstances is it ever appropriate to get the private communications between the chief of staff of a president and the president. That is just ridiculous that they think they can do that through a partisan committee. So the whole January 6th charade that's going on is completely inappropriate. It's an abuse of power. When we win in the fall, it'll completely be erased from history. It'll be null and void. The committee will be over, and it'll be seen as the charade it was, and any of the pronouncements that come out of it will be voided. So it's just really a sad day that they think that a political party should go after their opponents using the court power and the subpoena power to go after your private phone calls, I think is awful. With regard to violence in general, yeah, there's a heck of a lot of violence on the left side. I mean, these two lawyers up in New York who firebombed a police car, Biden's Justice Department let them off with a slap on the wrist. They could have gotten as much as 10 years in prison. I think they're going to get probation. They firebombed a police car. So, yeah, I think we do need to look at violence on both sides. but there's really very little objective reporting that goes on in the mainstream media.
Senator, moving on to the Alabama Senate race, despite what had happened, Donald Trump obviously going with Congressman Brooks' opponent, Katie Britt. Now, you're staying with Mo Brooks. You think he's the best choice for Alabama for the United States Senate?
Yeah, without question. We need more people up here that will stand their ground. And the problem isn't just Democrats. The problem is establishment, big government Republicans. So I had a vote yesterday on balancing the budget in 5 years. You'd think that'd be a pretty easy vote. That's what the amendment to the Constitution says that we've all voted for. Every Republican up here that's had a chance to has voted for a balanced budget amendment to the Constitution that requires it balancing in 5 years. So I put this forward and I got 29 votes, but 18 big government Republicans voted the other way, and most of them are supporting Katie Britt. All the money going to her is coming from the establishment big business sources that like big government. You know, so this is a conservative versus the establishment. Mo Brooks is the conservative. He's got a proven voting record as a conservative. He'll vote for a balanced budget that I put forward, but he'll also vote to keep government small as the Constitution intended it.
Well, and the decision by the president to initially endorse Mo Brooks and then rescind it, and now he is with Katie Britt. What do you make of Donald Trump and what he has done?
It's illogical. It's irrational. It makes no sense. So it should be just discounted. People in Alabama know that Mo Brooks is a conservative. I mean, some of the things that, you know, apparently Trump may have gotten mad at him is that he supported Ted Cruz. But look, we ought to be bigger boys than that. I ran in 2016 and Mo Brooks supported Ted Cruz over me as well. But the thing is Ted Cruz is a conservative. And so I think that without question, you want to get the most conservative senator and send him up to us. Alabama is a conservative state. If you send us sort of the establishment candidate, you'll end up sending us someone who could be here for 30 years voting for more spending and more deficits. And that's my prediction of what will happen unless you really, Alabama pulls together and sends us a conservative. One interesting thing that people aren't really reporting very well is I looked at one of the polls from this week. With most likely voters, it's a 3-point race. Some of the polls are trying to say, oh, the race is already over. But the interesting thing is when you look at most likely voters in a small election, it's a 3-point race. So I think if people are conservative and they're listening to this, do your homework. But I promise you there's a lot of evidence of Mo Brooks' voting records that he is the constitutional conservative in this case. And all the money is coming from the big government Republican establishment, which often are part of the problem in Washington.
Now, your fellow Kentucky colleague, Mitch McConnell, he is the leader for the Republican caucus. One of the big things that came up on this in this campaign cycle, and it was kind of a back and forth with Congressman Brooks and Katie Britt about leadership, who will lead the Republican caucus, what's the right way. Well, what do you think of that? If anything, should there be a shakeup at the top if Republicans get control of the Senate, either in this cycle or in a future cycle?
Even though there's dissent in Washington on who should lead the party caucus, there hasn't been a vote since I've been here. So most of the votes are controlled by the people who have been financed by leadership. Leadership finances candidates. When those candidates win, they support them for leadership. So the leadership really doesn't change. But I can tell you that the leadership of the party nationally are the conservatives and not the establishment in Washington. They fear conservatives. You don't see them coming to Alabama and campaigning because they think it would hurt their candidate. They send millions and millions of big corporate dollars down there, but they're not there in person. They're not going out in person because they know that the conservatives of Alabama, if they saw all these faces coming down who they know are part of the big government Republican establishment, they'd run the other way. So they send their monies, but they don't come in person. So I think there is different leadership outside of Washington among Republicans who vote and Republicans who are active. And it's different than the leadership that is in Washington.
You think that getting the different direction or whatever's needed to kind of get the Republican Party on track, start voting for balanced budget amendments and things like that, is kind of start from outside of Washington, not inside of Washington?
Pretty much. And it isn't necessarily someone who hasn't been here. It's someone who's willing to stand up to the leadership. I'll give you an example. Obamacare, When Obama was president, we took over the House and the Senate. Republicans voted to repeal. I led the effort to repeal Obamacare. We passed it, and then Obama vetoed it. When Trump became president, we had both houses under Republicans. I led the effort again to pass the exact same legislation, and 7 Republicans bailed. This is, you know, when McCain bailed and several of the others bailed. But this is why it makes a difference what kind of Republican you send us. You need a Republican who has the guts to stand on their principles. And I promise you, every day it's a capitulation up here. Every day. Look, just 2 months ago, they passed a bill that's going to increase the deficit by hundreds of billions of dollars, and it doubles the size of something called the National Science Foundation. Well, this is the group that does studies like on Japanese quail to find out if they're more sexually promiscuous on cocaine. That's the kind of crap that we're getting from there. This is a group that studied if you take a selfie of yourself while smiling and look at it later in the day, will that make you happy? Millions and millions of dollars going on for 50 years, and the big government Republicans all voted to double the size of this department that I would eliminate in a heartbeat. So there is a difference. I mean, the big government Republicans are really in charge up here. They are the majority on most votes, and that's why the deficit grows. When people say, whose fault is it that we have a $30 trillion deficit? Is it Republicans or Democrats? My answer is yes. It's Democrats, all of them, every one of them. But then it's a cabal of about half or slightly more than half of the Republicans, particularly in the Senate, who are big government Republicans who vote for all the spending, virtually all the spending. There were Republicans up here who vote for virtually all the spending. And you have to make a decision in a primary, and you have to make a judgment. Who do you think is more likely to actually really be a conservative when they get up here, and who's going to go along with the big government caucus?
Senator, you mentioned Obamacare. Has the ship sailed on that? Or do you have any sort of optimism about rolling that back? Here it is. It's been 12 years.
Two reforms. Yeah, I'd still repeal it. But if we can't repeal it, I would introduce two reforms that would dramatically improve health care in our country and create more capitalism. I would expand health savings accounts to let everybody in the country be eligible for one. Currently, only about 10% of health insurances that you get through your employment or individually are eligible for a health savings account. I would make them all eligible for a health savings account. I would expand how much you can put in it, and I would expand what you can do with it. I would let you take your health savings account to buy vitamins. I would let you take your health savings account to go to a diet program, and I'd let you take your health savings account, tax-free money, to go to a gym as well. I think those would be good changes. As far as the individual market, if you're an individual entrepreneur and it's just you and your wife, or it's you and one other employee, you're a small business, you're the one paying the outrageous rates for health insurance. I would let you buy health insurance as a group. I'd let you go to Costco, Sam's Club, Walmart, Amazon, you name it. And I'd let the insurance be nationwide. And what would happen is if Costco had 5 million people buying insurance through them, the person negotiating the rate would go directly to the CEO of United Healthcare and say, we've got 5 million people. This is what we want. And they'd get a better price. Those things would largely fix most of the problems in healthcare in our country. And they're not that complicated. They're just simple reforms to allow people more freedom to have better leverage to get less expensive insurance.
Last question on kind of policy here. We'll wrap up on this. Ukraine and Congress putting more and more, throwing more money at that problem. Well, what do you see the right path for U.S. interest in Ukraine? How much should we commit to that?
Inflation is caused by spending money you don't have, and then the Federal Reserve buys the debt. So whether it's for Ukraine, whether it's for food stamps here, whether it's for studies of Panamanian frogs, it all goes to the debt. And so it doesn't make sense, even for a good cause. I'm sympathetic to the Ukrainians. I think Putin's invasion should be condemned, and I want the Ukrainians to win. But it doesn't make sense for me to say, well, America, why don't we borrow money from China so we can send it to Ukraine? We don't have any money. It'd be like me saying to you, well, you know, there are poor people in Mobile, and I know you don't have any money because you're barely getting by providing for your family and paying your rent, but why don't you go down to the bank in Mobile and borrow $1,000 to give it to poor people? Nobody does that. You give out of your surplus. You take care of your family first, and if you have some left over, you try to help your church and you try to help your community. But you don't do it by borrowing money. That's what the United States is doing. Ukraine's going to ask for $40 billion more, apparently, this fall. And then it's going to take hundreds of billions to rebuild the country. Look, I have great sympathy, but we do not have hundreds of billions of dollars to rebuild Ukraine. We can't endlessly supply them with weapons. So, no, it's to me, it's a fiscal issue, not necessarily a military issue.
Senator, yeah, a couple events for Congressman Brooks, a couple of town hall events. Tell our listeners real quick about those, if you would.
I think the closest event would be Birmingham, and we're going to be there noon at Valley Hotel in Homewood. So that'll be this Friday at noon at the Valley Hotel in Homewood, and that would be probably the closest one for people in Mobile.
But it's open to the public. Anybody could go. Should you want to drive up the 4 or 5 hour drive to Birmingham, it's open to the public. Right?
It's a hike. But we're campaigning for Mo Brooks all over the state, and I think he's a great candidate. And I think people could be really surprised how close this race is going to turn out to be.
Senator, we appreciate your time this morning, and I have a good trip downstate, and enjoy your time here.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right. That was Senator Rand Paul there on the line. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Yes, she's been here, but their memory wasn't clear. Was it yesterday? No, wait, the day before. Finally got a ride with a preacher man who asked, were you bound on such a cold, dark afternoon? As we drove on through the rain, as he listened, I explained, and he left me with a prayer that I'd find you. Kentucky rain keeps pouring down.